Well, good morning again. Welcome to church this morning, this dull, grey morning. I wish I could say it was fine and warm like it should be. So, the Lord be with you. And from Revelations we read that you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And from Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So we shall now make a joyful noise to the Lord with our first hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. We are the people of God. The scripture reminds us that we still sin, and we need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. So from Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And further in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. But we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And from 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And please join me in with the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Would you like to now stand and join with me in reciting the Apostles' Creed? What do we believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing while we sing our second hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. I think we know this one. Please take a seat. Please join me with this prayer each day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Robin will now come and lead us in prayers for the world, the community and the church.
the collect for the fourth Sunday in Advent. Let us pray for grace to accept God's will for us. Heavenly Father, who chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of our Lord and Saviour, fill us with your grace, that in all things we may accept your holy will, and with her rejoice in your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the darkness we wait for your coming. Let us wait with the hungry, the homeless, the poor, the oppressed. Let us wait with the peoples of warring nations, with your church, with those who suffer. Incarnate God, come to us in wisdom, in justice and in peace, that we may rejoice at your presence. Come, Jesus, come, and in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Let us wait open and receptive to your love, aware of the quickening movements of new life within. Let us wait ready to experience the joy of new life. Incarnate God, come to us in wonder and in mystery, that we may rejoice at your presence. Come to us in forgiveness, reconciliation and love, that we may rejoice at your presence. Come, Jesus, come, and in your mercy, hear our prayer. With all your faithful servants, we wait for your coming. We give you thanks for all who have recognized your presence and for all who have opened themselves to your purpose and power. The prophets, John the Baptist, Joseph and Mary. Incarnate God, come to us that rejoicing at your presence, we may dwell forever with you and you with us. Come, Jesus, come, and in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for the joy of human companionship, for the families and friends whose love sustains our lives. We pray for our St. Giles Church family, giving you thanks for each one of them and asking for your guidance as we support each other through our journeys. Keep us in touch with family and friends, though often separated by COVID restrictions. Keep us well. Come, Jesus, come, and in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who have requested healing from Vernon and Margaret Ireland, Graham Lowther, Margaret Roberts, Murray Holmes, Fleur Fowler, Duncan Lupton, and Gillian Lupton. Comfort and heal, merciful Lord, these and all who seek your powerful healing hand. Come, Jesus, come, and in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all nations. We particularly pray for your intervention in the major trouble spots of the world, especially for Ukraine and for the countries affected by the war, by extreme and damaging weather events. Stretch out your merciful hand to comfort these people as they struggle to survive, rebuild their homes and lives. Strengthen the work of all labouring to give aid and support. In this world full of chaos and wickedness, you alone can bring restoration and pour out your spirit of truth. Open the eyes of all leaders of government and commerce to see where deceptions, greed and pride are overruling careful and good governance. Change their ways. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Eric as he continues to give generously of his time to us all, for his clear teaching and for his wisdom in decision making. Keep him in good health. We pray for our CMS missionary in Asia, giving you thanks that she has settled into her life there and is being well supported. Keep her in good health, dear Lord. We pray for Richard and Sue Davies and their work for AIM. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Praise to you, Heavenly Father, for you hear the prayers of your people and answer them when we call on you. Hear these prayers for your world and for your church. Amen. Shall we join together in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
No spot today, no spot today. So time for our third hymn, Joyful, Joyful. Yes. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Russell?
Oh!
You're up.
My shirt's on the medicine today. Second time.
Do you want to read from the big Bible?
Oh,
it's up to you.
No, I read from the big Bible. That's not bad. You can have this one.
Got it.
You're welcome. all right, I'm reading Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It's called The Shepherd and the Angels. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch of their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David the Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped up in bands and cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for what they had heard and seen as had been told them. Thank you. Oh, this is a word of course, wasn't that to say?
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, God. Thanks, Russell. Good job. Thank
you. Morning, everyone. You know how good that sounds on the recording if you go and listen to it online? It starts the same way every week, and it's just a joy to go and listen to it and hear that response from the congregation to know that you're all still awake. I'm glad I don't say anything at the end, just in case. We are in the third week of our Advent series, which will finish on Christmas Day, and we're looking at hope, love, joy and peace. No prize for guessing which one we're on today. But I wanted to ask, what's worse than having your flight delayed?
Having it cancelled.
Having your flight cancelled. Well done, sir. You get the prize. There is no joy to be found in that, is there? And that's probably happened to a few people, and perhaps even recently. We've adapted the words of Robert Burns into this now famous saying, "The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry." You can plan to travel, but it may not happen. I can imagine Joseph making all the necessary plans to get his heavily pregnant wife Mary all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem by donkey, only to discover on their arrival that there are no vacancies in any of the inns. Now, there is a joke going around that this was the origin of the hymn Silent Night. For those who can't see it, who are listening at home, Mary and Joseph are at the inn and the man saying no vacancy. And Joseph says to Mary, "Sorry, I forgot to book ahead." Mary, Mary, the origin of Silent Night. We know that's not true, of course, but it does raise the issue of how we respond when God's plan for our life differs from our own plans and expectations. I'm pretty sure Mary's response to this situation was not a sense of overwhelming happiness. We should never confuse happiness with joy. Our sermon for for this week is Emmanuel brings joy. But before we unpack what that statement really means, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, once again we come before you and ask for you to open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The more we look at the Christmas story, the more we find situations where happiness and joy are not the first words that come to mind. The big one, of course, is Herod's response to the wise men skipping town without sharing with him the location of the newborn king. Herod decides that the only way to remove the threat of a newborn king is to kill all the boys in the region who are 2 years old or younger, in accordance with the time that the wise men first saw the star. Another example is while the shepherds were watching their flocks by night, which we heard read this morning. The appearance of an angel did not bring them joy at that moment. Instead, they were terrified, as were both Mary and Joseph, when they were independently visited by angels. In each case, the angel says, "Fear not, do not be afraid." It's not a joyful circumstance that they're experiencing. And what was there to instill joy into the life of Mary and Joseph in the stable? Mary was just a young girl. We sometimes forget, because some of the pictures show her to be a little bit older, but she was just a young girl, betrothed but not yet married. And she was about to give birth to a child who was conceived by a mystery she could not fully understand. Her planned marriage was on the brink of divorce before it even started. Joseph faced the shame of raising a child that was not his own and who was born out of wedlock, while Mary faced the pain and fear of bearing that child in the filth of a stable without any family or friends, without any medical help or midwives. This is not a joyful circumstance. The wise men came with a joyful expectation of seeing the newborn king, whom they had travelled thousands of miles to meet. But on arrival in the capital city of Jerusalem, where they expected the king to be born, those joyful hopes were dashed when they discovered that no one in the city seemed even vaguely aware of this momentous event. Although their connecting flight seemed cancelled, we know it was only delayed. It feels like the wind has been taken out of the sails of all these people. It feels like the birth of Emmanuel brought fear or heartache or disappointment rather than joy. On a wider scale, we know that the people of God were suffering oppression from their Roman overlords, and the birth of Jesus brought no sign of change. It was just another joyless day in their life as part of the Roman Empire. Yet Christmas has now become a season of great joy for people all over the world. As Christians, we would say that Jesus is the reason for that season. But if you've been watching TV lately, you might have seen an advertisement for the Maya retail chain which claims that the season is the reason. A little play on words by them. In other words, we generate our own sense of happiness. We experience joy because we change our circumstances to create a joyful atmosphere of fun, food and fellowship. And we do it because everyone else is doing it. And I want to say to you that this does not reflect the joy of the first Christmas. Circumstances were bad, and the birth of Jesus did not change that fact. Families were not suddenly able to celebrate together over a decadent feast. And yet people were able to find joy in their unchanged circumstances. I think the terrified shepherds were still terrified when the angel spoke to them, even though the angel told them not to be afraid. And after the heavenly choir had given their awesome performance of praise, the darkness returned and the shepherds were still watching their flocks by night. I think that their response was probably more confusion than joy at that point, and perhaps in an effort to verify their sanity, they went to Bethlehem to find the stable. And it was there that they found everything was just as the angel had told them. It was there that they were overwhelmed with joy and returned rejoicing. Yet they returned to those same fields where they had been keeping watch over those same sheep. Their joy was not the result of a change in their physical circumstances. Later in the Christmas story, we find two senior citizens, Anna and Simeon, who both find great joy in seeing the young Jesus, even though their personal circumstances would not change, and they would die before Jesus would begin to demonstrate his power by changing the circumstances of others. There was something about the presence of Jesus that instilled joy in people. The presence of Jesus indicated the presence of God, for Jesus is our Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is reflected in the response of Elizabeth when she comes to visit Mary before Jesus is even born. The miraculously conceived baby that Elizabeth is also carrying, who will become John the Baptist, jumps for joy in the presence of Emmanuel. Mary then launches into her own song of joy, which we come to know as the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. This from a young girl who is dazed and confused in unchanged circumstances. So it appears that the time and setting for the first Christmas was not a cause of great happiness, and yet the reality is that Emmanuel brings great joy. Remember the message that the angel gave to the shepherds that night? I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, who is Christ, in other words, the Lord. What the shepherds heard in their minds, though, was that the long-awaited king had finally arrived, and they had great hopes that this king would overthrow the Roman Empire and make Israel great again. He would change their physical world. That was their hope and expectation. That's what would bring them joy. But the clue that God was doing something different was in the sign that the angel gave them. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. The God-given sign that this God-given joy was real and true is the very thing that could have robbed Mary and Joseph of their joy at the birth of their son. The very fact that he was to be born in a stable and placed in a feed trough. The birth in the stable was no accident. It was a deliberate act of God. He wasn't caught off guard by there being no vacancies in the inn. Jesus came to save the world, not from physical death and Roman persecution, but from spiritual death and God's punishment for sin. He did not arrive in a palace in Jerusalem as an earthly king. He did not arrive in a limousine as a political dignitary. He was born as one of us. He was born in dire circumstances to rescue us from dire circumstances. To be born in a stable and laid in a manger was actually a very fitting entrance into the world for the Lamb of God, who would ultimately take away the sins of the world. The good news of great joy for all the people was that a Saviour had been born. This is why we celebrate Christmas every year. This is why we celebrate every year at Christmas, the birth of our Saviour. Not the birth of a genie who grants all our wishes and gives us everything that we want and changes all our physical circumstances.
but the birth of the one who changes our spiritual and eternal circumstances. The birth of the one who lived and died in order to rescue and redeem his people. Emmanuel brings joy not by creating joyful circumstances, but by enduring the worst of circumstances so that we might be able to share his joy in heaven. For the Bible says, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. So what does the joy of Christmas mean to you? I think Mary and Joseph may have initially experienced doubt and disappointment in their circumstances. They may have expected God to change them. I mean, if they're bearing the Son of God, surely they might have expected a bit more pomp and ceremony to be attached to it. They may have expected God to change their circumstances, but he didn't. They needed to find joy in their unchanged circumstances. And I think that joy indicates a restored trust in God's plan rather than a dependence on our own plan and purpose. Joy is a restored trust in God's plan and purpose rather than a dependence on our own plan and purpose. For our plans get delayed or cancelled. Every year we come to celebrate Christmas engulfed by circumstances that are not always comforting or easy to endure. We may have family issues or financial issues which bring more misery than mirth. We may have thoughts of lost or absent loved ones that haunt our minds and bring disappointment rather than delight. We may doubt God's goodness in difficult circumstances. The story of Christmas challenges the way we respond when God's plan for our life differs from our plans and expectations. So how do you respond? With fear or faith? With doubt or delight? With grumbling or with gratitude? To experience the true joy of Christmas, the joy that Emmanuel brings, we need to stop coming to God like he's some kind of Santa Claus who will give us physical blessings that will improve our physical circumstances, and start coming to God as our loving Father who sent his Son to be our Saviour. Jesus didn't come to ensure that our flights would not be delayed or cancelled. He didn't come to make our physical circumstances better in this life. He didn't come to bring us superficial happiness in this life. He came to bring us deep joy, whatever our circumstances are in this life. He lived and died with us so that we might die and live with him. He rose from the dead to prove to us that what the angel said was true. Unto you is born a Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. As Emmanuel, he brings us eternal joy. And that's why the hymn I want at my funeral is, I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy that blessed assurance gives. May that joy, the true joy of Christmas, be yours now and always. Amen.
Thank you, Eric. Guess what hymn we're going to sing now? It's Joy to the World. Please take a seat. It's time for notices.
Notices, yes. There's one here. I'm not sure you want to do it.
You can get up and say, before Eric comes up, I just wanted to say that I've got the roster for January out on the table and also on the board there. If you just have a look and let me know if you can't do any of those, any of the duties, and I can amend the roster And then I'll have a roster for term one during January.
Excellent. Christmas services coming up, 5 o'clock Christmas Eve, 9 a.m. Christmas Day. Summer school's up in January 7 to 13. I've seen a video about that, and first one for a long time because of COVID. January's got the Living Under the Lordship of Christ series of sermons with Isaac, Jasper and Celia playing major parts. And also we have the prayer course in January, in February, and if you are able to put your name on the list at the back of the church, then you can increase the joy of the people who are running it. I'll just go back and let Russ.
Yeah, yeah, you do want a second church service, we do, don't we? Yeah. United Church in Willoughby, there's a sort of schedule at 6, church service at 7, and the choir men were doing 3 songs halfway through the service. So you want another church service? Come on, talk.
So Russ is singing in a choir that's singing at the Willoughby Uniting Church.
Yeah, Willoughby Uniting Church.
Tonight at...
Well, like I said, sausage usual at 6, we're going to come to that. Service starts at 7.
6:30.
Service starts at
7.
7.
Sausage is
at 6. Sausage is at 6.
You got it?
I understand. Right. Birthday, they've got... Margaret Bickle's got a birthday on the 29th, so I think of her... celebrating a birthday after Christmas when everyone's asleep or still drunk. Just remember that if you get a chance to maybe even ring her up and give her a birthday greeting, if you can remember, that'd be great, as we try to do with all our birthday people. Is there any other notices people have that they want to give? No? Excellent.
So please join with me in the final prayer. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.